And I entitled this message this morning for a thought. Hypocrisy meets the truth. Hypocrisy meets the truth. We get into this message and we begin to see a side of Jesus that many people rarely ever read about, rarely get to see a side of him that comes out. You know, Jesus did get angry at times. He had righteous anger, righteous indignation, and he did get angry at times. But when you read the scriptures, Jesus rarely ever, if all, got angry at the world. He always pointed his anger toward religious people. And not in religion in a bad sense, because the word religion itself is not a bad word, but religious people who wanted to put him in a box. He got angry at those people, the religious people who wanted to put him in a box, who wanted to control him, and wanted to believe that they represented the best of God and that he did it. And so Jesus was upset with anyone that wanted to turn people away from his Father. Jesus was very, very, very protective of the Word of God and of the reputation of God the Father. Because he said, I represent God, and he didn't want anyone to misrepresent God to the world. And I think it's important for us to understand that as Christians, that we are representing Christ, representing God to the world. And it's very important how we represent God to a watching world, to a world that's looking for something. Make no mistake, the world is always is looking for something or someone. The world is looking for something. The world worships something. And we want to make sure that the world that watching us, that we're pointing them to Jesus Christ. We're pointing them to a God of love, a God of forgiveness, a God of hope, a God of truth, a God that says that no matter how bad, no matter how far you have drifted from God, you can always come back. A God that says that he is always seeking out the lost, that he's seeking, that Jesus didn't spend his time condemning the world. He spent his time reaching out to the world, calling the world back to himself. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, the Bible says. He come to rescue the world from its sinful condition. And I think as Christians, we have to be careful and be very mindful of how we present the gospel and how we talk about the world from a condemning standpoint. Our job is not to condemn anyone. Our job is to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ, with the Word of God. And so we see this clash is about to happen in this story. We see a clash of the truth dealing with religious hypocrisy. And so we have these Pharisees who are coming to Jesus really to ask a question, but not really asking a question. It's a question of really a statement of condemnation dressed in a question. They've already made up in their mind their verdict about Jesus. You know how someone asks you a question and you know they're not asking you because they want information. They've already condemned you. They're just asking a question so they can tell you how they really feel about you. You ever had a person ask you that? Hey, I have a question for you. You're like, oh boy. It's not really a question. They've already made a decision. And they want everybody to know what they think about you, so they ask the question in public. Hey, I have a question about that. And that's what he did to Jesus. He's minding his business. He's teaching. People are getting saved. And here come the Pharisees with a question to watch Jesus and to see what he's going to do and how he lives his life. And remember I said again, the word religion is not a bad word. But when we try to put Jesus in a box or God in a box to fit our religion, then that's when it becomes bad. And understand that we have traditions. People can have traditions. There's nothing wrong with tradition. Matter of fact, God is not anti-tradition or anti-standards. Long as those standards don't begin to overrule him. Matter of fact, I believe in so much so that you don't want to marry anybody that don't have standards. Would you want to marry a spouse that don't have any standards? Lie about anything? Cheat on you? I mean, you should even go in business with anybody that don't have any standards with you. So we know that standards are good. And so I've been wanting to serve a God that has no standards where anything goes. So God does have standards. God has rules. But God has rules, and we have enough of those, and we ain't got to make up our own rules. Amen? And so we want to make sure that we understand what Jesus is talking about, what he's for and what he's against. And so my key truth this morning is this, is that following religious rituals or traditions will never make God love you more. For instance, the Christianity has a tradition where we meet, we worship God. Some worship God on Saturday, some worship God on Sunday. It's a tradition that we do. But I want you to know, coming to church, coming here every Sunday will not make God love you more. It won't make you coming here every Sunday, showing up, won't make God love you anymore. Matter of fact, God cannot love you any more than he already has. For God so loved the world that he did what he gave his son, Jesus Christ. Now, he gave his son before you ever showed up at church on Sunday, before you ever started serving him. God already loved you that he gave his son. So we don't come here to church on Sunday to receive God's love. I mean, to make him love us more. We come to express our love for God for first loving us. Matter of fact, the Bible says that we love him because he first did what? Loved us. So we don't keep, come here so that we can say, man, if I come here, God's going to love me more. No, the pastor may like you more, but God doesn't love you anymore. So we want to make sure we understand why we do what we do. It's motivated by our love for God and what he's done for us. And so now we're going to talk about how Jesus now is getting ready to expose the Pharisees based on their question. Now remember now, they came to him. He wouldn't bother them. They came to him. So now since they come to him, he's going to expose the Pharisees. Now I want to give you a little background about because we hear about the Pharisees, and when we first hear about the Pharisees, we always think, man, this is religious hypocrites. Well, in Jesus' day, the Pharisees were not viewed the way we view them today. You know, they were really highly respected in Jesus' day. Matter of fact, history says that the Pharisees were an influential religious sect within Judaism in the time of Christ. And they were known for their emphasis on personal piety. And so, matter of fact, the word Pharisee means separated. Matter of fact, many people looked up to the Pharisees. Man, if you want to follow Christ, man, you see how them Pharisees do. They serious about following Jesus. And so they were known as being separated from the Roman world, because at the time, Israel was under Roman rule. But the Pharisees wanted to make sure that even though they were under Roman rule, that they wouldn't rule by Rome in their spiritual way of life. So they were separated, and they accepted oral tradition in addition to the written law. And their teaching, and they taught that Jews should observe 600 plus laws in the Torah, including the rituals concerning ceremony and purification. So not only obey the Old Testament, the law of Moses, but it added 600 more rules that you were to obey. So they added to the law of God, their oral tradition. Now, most of the Pharisees were like middle-class businessmen, and they were leaders of the synagogue. And they really were looked up to. So they come on the scene. And they're teaching the people, hey, this is how we should follow God. Then here comes this rabbi, Jesus, and the people now become, say, wait a minute, we have an issue. We have this religious rabbi coming. He's not a part of our sect, and he's teaching the way of God, and we don't like what he's teaching or how he's trying to point the people in a different direction than what we've pointed. So they come to Jesus and ask him about what? Something simple, washing hands. Think about it. They're asking Jesus about why your disciples don't wash. They're eating food with unwashed hands. So they're watching how their disciples are eating their food. Now think about religion. Religion, bad religion can get so bad where it begins to what I call, we remember something we call law God disease. And it begins to point so, and start looking at certain things. And start looking at what you do, how you do it, what you wear, what you say, what you don't do. So these Pharisees started to look at the disciples and how they ate their food and how they washed their hands. And they're asking Jesus, why don't they wash their hands the way we do? The way we've taught people to wash their hands. Now I want you to understand that the issue was not that disciples didn't wash their hands. The issue was how they washed their hands. It wasn't they didn't wash, they were eating with muddy hands, eating food. No, that wasn't the issue. The issue was that they didn't wash them how we said you ought to wash their hands. Because they would wash their hands a certain way. The water had to go a certain way down. They had to have their hands open like this and all this stuff. It was almost like a ritual washing your hands. So they're asking Jesus, they don't follow our rules. Then Jesus said, really? Well, I have a question for you. You don't follow God's rules. Now think about that. They're asking him that, how come your disciples not following our rules? And Jesus says, how come you not obeying God's commandments? Which is more important, following man-made rules or obeying God's commandments? Obeying God's commandments is more important than following man-made rules. And so now Jesus is getting ready to expose their heart. See, now the Pharisees wanted to discredit the work of Jesus Christ. They wanted to discredit him. That's why they came and asked him the question. It was not to learn anything from him. They wanted to discredit what he was doing. They wanted to say, you know what? He's really not who he says he is. He's a fraud. He's a fake. He's a phony. They wanted to discredit him. And only they said, if we're going to discredit him, we've got to say that he's breaking the laws of God. But really, Jesus never broke the law of God. He only broke the law of man that was against God's law. So Jesus broke the Pharisees' law, but he always kept God's law. And they were upset that he was breaking their laws. And look what he says about them. They're asking about tradition, and he says something that really, he quotes Isaiah to them. He says, well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? Now think about this. At this time, they were asking a question. But Jesus identifies who they are. They ask him a question. He says, you're hypocrites. Now, at this point, they were just asking the question. But Jesus says, no, I'm going to go and peel this onion back. He says, you are hypocrites. So he knows exactly what they're doing. They're acting like they're something that they're not. And so they wanted to discredit the work of Jesus. Because they were afraid, the Pharisees were afraid that people following Jesus would lead to lawlessness. They believed that if you follow this rabbi, it's going to lead to lawlessness, and we won't be able to keep a rein on Israel, on people. We're going to lose our way, and God's going to judge us because now it's going to lead us to lawlessness. No, Jesus came and preached grace, love, and forgiveness, right? He didn't preach lawlessness. See, following Christ is not saying, okay, well, I become a Christian. I do what I want to do. There's no rules. No, that's not what Christianity is. Christianity is simply saying that you, by your rules, can never make God love you, and you can never live good enough to make God accept you for who you are. That your goodness will not buy you a ticket into heaven. That your goodness will not make you right with God. It's only through righteousness of Jesus Christ that we're saved. Now, I want you to understand that many of us, if we're not careful, truth be told, we are more like Pharisees, because many of us, we like keeping rules. Because at least rules let us know, okay, if I do this, then I seem to be okay. You say, because you ever heard somebody say to you, when they point out, you know, when you ask them, okay, do I believe in God or Jesus Christ? And they say, well, no, but I'm not as bad as so-and-so. I mean, they're looking at somebody else and say, based on what they're doing and what I'm doing, I know that I'm better than them. And if I was God, I would accept me over them. Because I'm not as bad as they are. Those people, as they say, those people are bad people. No, but God loves those people in you too. But the Pharisees were afraid that people following Jesus would lead to lawlessness. And we've done that sometime in our day and time as Christians. You know how we make up certain rules? We're afraid that, you know, Christians can't dance. Because you know what dancing leads to? Dancing leads to babies. So there's no dancing in the church. I mean, we're thinking of something like that, right? Those would be certain type of rules we used to have, right? That we would have, hey, you know, and you grew up in some culture that, hey, that women couldn't wear what? Pants. If you wore pants, you were trying to be a man. You're trying to wear the pants in the house, huh? Stuff like that. No, No, seriously, I mean, we you laugh about that stuff. That stuff is still prevalent in some cultures today. I've been in some churches where have you walked in there with some pants on, the woman, they give you the side eye. They want to take you out shopping. Baby, you want to go shopping with us this week? Buy you a couple of dresses. You know, they're being kind to you. But that stuff happens, right? Matter of fact, another one, some of you, don't throw your Bible at me. Some churches believe that, hey, the only Bible you are to read is the KJV. It was good enough for Jesus, good enough for me. I'm like, you know Jesus not read the King James Version, right? But it's good. So I went to a church one time, and I'm telling you, they were searching Bible. They want to know what type of version you walked up in there with. If you had an NIV or ESV, to tell you, hey, lead it outside, here's a KJV version. If you read anything else, you were of the devil. We laugh about that stuff. That's real. That's 20th century stuff. People are still arguing about that today. What Bible is the best version of read? What is the best Bible? The one you read and obey. Amen. That's the best version. So they were afraid that following Jesus would lead to lawlessness. No, following Jesus leads to joy and freedom. Amen. Right. Freedom to serve God as we ought to. But like I said, the Pharisees had good intentions. They just had drifted into legalism and hypocrisy. They started, I mean, think about it, how did the Pharisees get here? They started out with good intentions. You know how people say the road to hell is paved with what? Good intentions. They started out with good intentions, but it had drifted into legalism and hypocrisy. And Jesus called them hypocrites. That's what he said, you hypocrites. He said, Isaiah wrote about you. Now, I want to define a couple of terms before we move forward in this story, is define, where is legalism? We hear about, oh, you being legalistic. Legalism is elevating human traditions to the level of God's law. You are elevating human traditions to the level of God's law, meaning that your tradition and God's word are like this. It's never like this. God's word is always up here, and our tradition is always down here. In other words, that I say to you, I submit to you that if you and God are in a disagreement, you're always wrong. You're always wrong. If you and God are disagreeing, you're wrong. He's right. And listen, once again, there's nothing wrong with traditions, right? Nothing wrong with having a tradition. I mean, some of you may have some family traditions. You know, we had some, when our kids were growing up, we had family traditions. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, every Christmas, on Christmas Eve, we had a tradition. We would make French toast, make breakfast on Christmas Eve at night. We'll make breakfast, and our kids got to open up one gift on Christmas Eve. Now, I think my wife made it up for her because she wanted to open them gifts up early. So I think it was, but we had the tradition. So we always did, and we would roast marshmallows. And so even our kids would still, they would still be wanting to do that. I remember one time we didn't do it, and you could have swore that my kids thought the world had came to an end. They were judging us. I can't believe we're not doing this anymore. I'm like, you in your 20s, and you don't live here. You know, like, what do you mean? But I just felt the judgment from that. I just felt judged. You know? And that type of stuff, I'm like, listen, that was a good tradition, but now you're older. Hey, it's good. Maybe you start with mature children, but, you know, hey, you know. But that type of stuff that people can get into something as a tradition, you begin to elevate it. You begin to judge people based on a tradition, not based on the word of God. So that's legalism. Remember I said, following rules will never make you right before God. Make God love you more. Now, what is hypocrisy? It's simply pretending to be something that you're not. Hypocrisy, in a layman term, could be defined as being an actor. You know, and anybody like movies, you like movies, and so people play certain characters. You know, they get into the character, and they make you believe they are actually that person. But they're really not. They're actors. And it's okay to watch a movie when people are performing or let you know they are actors. But it's another thing when you become a religious actor and you want people to believe that you who you are, how you who you're acting to be. And Jesus is saying that these Pharisees were acting righteous, acting religious, and they really weren't. He said, you guys are religious actors. You are phonies. You are frauds. So they started out well, and they became religious actors, pretending to be something that they're not. And Jesus said that they began to act because they wanted the approval and applause of men. Listen, we should never live for the approval and applause of men. We should always live for the approval and applause of Jesus. And we're only going to be approved and be accepted and by God through our faith in Jesus Christ. He's the only one that God says, in him I'm well pleased. Jesus Christ is the only one that God says, in him I'm well pleased. All of us, we've all fallen short of God's standards, right? We all fall short of the glory of God, but yet we need to be forgiven through Jesus Christ. So God is saying to us, don't play the hypocrite. Don't be an actor. In other words, he says that don't put on a religious mask. Be who you are. And what we mean by that, we're saying that when you come into a place, when you come to the church, we are to be who we are. We're to be our true, authentic selves. That means the fact that we should not carry around mask in our glove compartment, and when we pull into the parking lot, the church parking lot, we put our mask on. And we walk in here a certain way, we're smiling, we're praising God, amen, church, praise God. And then as soon as we leave the church, we put our mask off, take it off, and put it back in the car, and we be who we are. Nothing damages the church more than religious hypocrites. Matter of fact, religious hypocrites give the world an excuse. They point to, see that person? They hear every Sunday, they hear every time, and yet they're living like... It's like these religious pastors that happened a couple of years ago. This prominent pastor, he's preaching against a same-sex union. He's preaching against those things, all to be found out that he's carrying on an affair with another man. He's condemning these people up front. That's what he's doing behind closed doors. That's what Jesus says as an actor. You're condemning people. You're making money off this hate and what you're doing. And yet behind closed doors, you're doing the very thing that you're saying you hate. That's an actor. That person needs to be exposed because that person is doing damage to the kingdom of God. So Jesus exposes the Pharisees. Hypocrisy meets the truth. And that's why it's so important that when we gather the church, that in a real sense, our hypocrisy should meet the truth on Sunday. That the truth of God's word should expose our hypocrisy. And if we are honest with ourselves and we're true to ourselves, all of us have a little acting in us. All of us have a little hypocrisy we carry around with us. And that's why we have to come together and gather to God's people so that we can look in the mirror and see who we truly are so God can expose our hypocrisy so it gives us more grace and more mercy and forgiveness for other people. Because be careful, if you be saved too long, you can have what I call sin amnesia. You can forget that such were some of us. You know, sin amnesia, those people. You've been saved 2 weeks. And now you're already talking about those people. You've been saved 2 weeks. Now look at them people over there. Bro, those are your family members. You just with them. And so because when we remember what God has done for us and grace God's given us, then we can give it to other people. Religious people don't want to give people grace. See, religious people want for themselves what they're not willing to give other people. And so the Pharisees, they were hypocrites. They wanted to judge Jesus and expose him and condemn him. And yet he was living right before God and they weren't. Now, then religious people, not only are they actors, they are transmitting this acting to this false teaching to other people. Look what Jesus says. He says, now listen, you guys here in verse 8, he says, you guys have left the commandments of God and you hold to your tradition, then you teach other people to do so. And he uses an example of their day to say, you guys have a tradition called Corban that you teach people to do. And he says, listen, God's word says in Exodus 20, I think, God's word says that has a commandment in the Bible that I used to quote this to my kids all the time. Honor thy father and thy mother, that you may live on the earth. Now, I believe in that verse. Honor thy father and thy mother. So Jesus said that God has commanded that this is what we do. We honor our father and our mother. But he said, but you Pharisees have done something. You brought in a tradition called Corban. Now, when we think about honoring our father and our mother, the spirit of it, what Jesus, what God was saying, it was not just for us to mean that we are respectful of our mother and our father. We ought to be respectful of our parents. But really what Jesus was saying, it wasn't just giving respect. It was also supporting your mother and your father in their old age, physically and financially. So what Jesus was saying, that God was saying, that he's putting a rule that when you are a baby and your parents are supporting you financially, when you get old and you can't work, then it was the responsibility of the children to make sure they took care of their mother and their father. That was a sense of honor. And so what he says, now these Pharisees have a rule now. He says that if, instead of a person had a mom and dad, and they physically enabled, they couldn't work, and they had a son that was well off, and they comes, hey, we need you to take care of your mother. Well, the son, being religious, he would say, well, I would take care of you. I would give you this money, but it's Corban. What is Corban? Well, it's already been dedicated to the Lord. This part of my income that I had set aside for you, I've already dedicated that to the building fund. You know how you get in the church, you have a building fund? And you and I both know that the building fund has been given to for 20 years. And no building been built nowhere. But we still have the building fund, right? We have a building fund. And you give every Sunday to the building fund. You think, what a building it? Well, it's coming. But anyway, so this Corban was, they could say, this money is dedicated to the temple. But you did not have to physically give it to the temple. All you had to say was you had dedicated this to God without actually giving it to God. And so that means that mom and dad, I would take care of you, but this money that I had is set aside for God, so I can't do anything for you because it's set aside for God. So they had a loophole of helping kids be unfaithful to the commandment of God, to honor their father and mother. And he said that you're using Corban to teach children to dishonor their mother and their father. And they were doing that. And they were discipling some selfish children. And they were doing that all in their... So they were using God to be selfish. And they were breaking the commandment of God to honor thy mother and thy father. He said, you're teaching people to do that. He said, you're a hypocrite. Because they never gave the money to the temple. It taught them not to take care of their parents. And what God is saying, God says, I care more about you taking care of your parents than you are about dedicating some money to a temple. It's about taking care of your parents in old age. So Jesus exposed them for that. Then he goes, so now once he shut them up, once hypocrisy has met the truth, then he calls the people again to himself and he teaches them a lesson. He gives them a parable. And he tells them, he said, listen, it's like eating food. Now, we know that God did give Israel certain laws about certain foods you shouldn't eat, but it wasn't to make them loved by God anymore. It was to show, is to make them holy and separate from the nations, to, so people to ask the question, why? Why do you do this? Why do you not eat this food? It was to answer a question and to point to Jesus. But now there's some people who take it to the extreme. These people take it to the extreme now, and they're saying, listen, whatever you eat or touch defiled you from the outside. Matter of fact, a Jew would not even talk to a Gentile. If they went to the market of a Gentile, immediately when they got home, they had to take a shower. Because being around Gentiles had defiled them. Being around people who wasn't Israelites would have defiled them. Now, think about that. Just being in a room with somebody would say that you've been defiled. And God said, no, people don't defile you. Matter of fact, food does not defile you. Then he taught a lesson. He said, listen, you eat some pork chops. You eat these pork chops, you eat them, they go into your stomach, it breaks it down, and what? it goes out of the body. It doesn't defile you. He said that goes out of your system. It enters and it goes out, but he said there's something in you that's not on you, it's in you and it comes out of you. And that's what defiles you. Jesus, now he said, listen, you're worried about the stomach, God's worried about the heart. See, many of us are more particular about what we eat than what we say. Think about that. We are more particular about what goes in our mouth than what comes out of our mouth. And Jesus saying, you should spend more time worrying about what comes out of your mouth than what goes in your mouth. It's okay. Listen, there's nothing wrong with eating healthy, but it's more important to live holy than to eat healthy. Many of us can teach a whole course on eating healthy. Can you teach a course on living holy? And that's what Jesus is saying. Listen here, we need to understand that it's not about what goes in you. So now, can you imagine a Jew hearing that? That Jesus is saying that it's not food that defiles you. Now the Pharisees are losing their mind. What do you mean? Are we going to start having all these barbecue pits come up all over the place? What's going to happen with the temple now? They're going to be selling barbecue all out the church. No, that's not. They were afraid that it would lead to lawlessness. And what Jesus is saying, he's trying to take, he needs him to understand the spirit of the law is about loving God and being drawn near to him. And so now he tells him about this. And his own disciples, they ask him, like, what does this mean? He said, are you without understanding? Do you not understand what I'm saying? He got to teach them because they've been conditioned by the what? Tradition of the elders. They've been conditioned to obey these traditions. And he says, listen, let's focus on what God wants. God's about holiness. The holiness comes from within and is manufactured by the Holy Spirit. But he says, it's not about the food that you eat. It's about what comes out of your mouth. And he started naming stuff that comes from within. He said, it comes out of the heart. He says, evil thoughts. Evil thoughts never come from a pork chop sandwich, pork ribs. No one can say that pig made me do it, or whatever you want, whatever. He says, come from within. Evil thoughts, sexual morality, theft, murder, adultery, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. So we have a heart problem. Jesus just exposed a human issue. We have a heart problem. Everyone in here, we have a heart problem. So who can fix the heart? Only the doctor. Only God. See, we have a spiritual condition, a heart issue, and the only one that can fix that issue is Jesus. That's why you need Jesus. I need Jesus. But what we try to do, no, I can fix it myself. I can self-diagnose myself. I just have a little religion, and it'll take care of the problem. No. Religion will never take care of the problem that we have because it's deeper than just religion. It's inwardly. And that's why it says we must be what? Born again. We must be born from above, from on high. And that's why Jesus, he's pointing people to himself. He says, I am the cure for this disease. Now, many people didn't want to take that. Remember, we talk about having an illness. And people not want to take the cure. The cure is Jesus. But we try to do everything else except coming to Jesus. We start saying, I'm better than this. I don't do this. I can stop doing this. I can do this. And it's like, still. See, you can live by principles, but it still don't make you holy. So let's look at this and see how we can figure out how God wants us to live. We call it truths for living. Number one is this. Without a personal relationship with God, religious rituals profit nothing. Without a personal relationship with God, religious rituals profit you nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from Jesus Christ, you can do nothing. Listen, you can come to church every Sunday. You can live in the church, eat in the church, work in the church. But if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's going to profit you nothing. You can come here every Sunday, listen to the choir sing, raise your hands, do everything you want to, but if you never, ever accept God as your personal relationship with him, it profits you nothing. You can have religion, but it's not going to profit nothing. The Pharisees were religious, but they didn't know God. They didn't know God, and they rejected God. You say, well, how do I know that they rejected God? Because they rejected Jesus. The only faith in Jesus Christ brings us into a right relationship with God. Only faith in Jesus Christ brings us to a right relationship with God. There are many religions out there. There are a whole bunch of them. You can Google them. There's a whole bunch of religions. But when you break them down into all these categories, there's only two religions. When you break them down, there's only two religions in the world. There's Jesus Christ, and there's the other religions. Every other religion teaches that you got to do this to be accepted by God. You do this, you do this, you do this. Christianity teaches that what God did for you. That God did something for you to make you accepted by him. Every religion says you got to do this, you got to pray, you got to do this, you got to go on a trip, you got to pray five times a day, you got to do this, you can't eat this food, you can't do this. All that is fine and healthy for you, but it never make God love you. Christianity is the only religion that says that God came down and did something for you. That God died for you. Gave his life for you. See, in the real sense, we talk about stairways to heaven. But in the real sense, it was heaven came down. It's not so we could go up to heaven. It was so heaven came down. The word became flesh and did what? Dwelt among us. It was God who came down because we could never reach. I don't care how much money they play, how much money Jeff Bezos played to go to the moon. No one can ever buy a rocket to take you to heaven. People are spending $28 million for a ride to Mars, and you go to heaven for free. And that's Jesus Christ. Salvation is a free gift of God. And you'd rather pay money to try to work your way to Mars than accept Christ as your Savior and say, hey, God takes you there through Jesus Christ. That's why we point people to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself is unique in his person and his character. He is unique in all the world. No one can compare to Jesus. No one. No religion. No other leader can compare to Jesus because no other leader died for you and rose again from the dead. Matter of fact, no other leader told you that I died for you on purpose and told you I'm going to do it before he did it. Jesus told you I'm going to die for you before he died. And told you, at this time, I'm going to get up from the grave. He told you he was going to do what he was going to do, and he did it. See, Jesus didn't die on accident. He died on purpose. Amen? And the purpose was what? You and I. Christ died on purpose. Why? To set you and I free. And then he got up what? On purpose. He got up on purpose, right? He got up on purpose. Let us know that, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, death does not have the victory because Christ has the victory. He got up and said, hey, if I can get up, you can get up too. Jesus Christ got up. So don't ever compare any other religion or person to Jesus Christ. Don't ever compare anybody to Jesus Christ. Christianity is unique in itself. It offers you salvation for free. You ain't got to do anything. Just accept what God has already done. And you don't have to play the hypocrite. See, when you come in Jesus Christ, you can burn the mask. You ain't got to wear a mask again. Just lay it down at the altar and be who you are. God accepts you for who you are. Isn't that good news? We don't have to fake before God. Because God already knows us. Not only that, the traditions of man should never usurp the authority of God's word. See, God's word is the standard. See, God's word is the standard, not our tradition. We never can usurp the authority of God's word. God's word is the standard, and Christ is the standard because he's the word of God. Like I said again, whenever you read the Bible and you and the Bible don't disagree, you're wrong. The Bible does not have to be updated. People can say, man, the Bible is archaic. It needs to be updated. No, it doesn't. You need to be upgraded, not updated. You need to be upgraded. And that's in Jesus Christ. You need to be upgraded. You need to glow up. It's called Jesus. Let him upgrade you. And it's through salvation. We need a spiritual makeover from the inside out. And that's the heart transformation. That's only found through Jesus Christ. But don't let your traditions usurp the authority of God's word. Man, I say, traditions are not bad, long as you don't put them on the same level of the word of God. Be careful about that. Making traditions on the same level of God's commandments. They're not the same. Not only this, the Holy Spirit produces inner transformation that leads to right attitudes and actions. Do you know that you cannot produce the righteousness of God? You can only receive the righteousness of God. You and I cannot produce the righteousness of God. As Paul says, all our righteousness is like what? Filthy rags. It's like me giving God my goodness, saying, God, here's this. God, I don't want that. That's filthy. I don't want no dirty clothes. God says, I got some clothes for you, and it's found in Christ. Put this on. But it's the Holy Spirit that produces it from the inside out. See, we cannot produce the love of God. The Holy Spirit can. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the what? Branches. We get our life from the vine. And we produce God's love because it's flowing through us. Amen? The love of Jesus Christ is flowing through us, and so we become more like Christ as the Holy Spirit, as we yield to the Holy Spirit. So I tell people all the time, if you are born again, people always say, I tell people, if you are born again, have the Holy Spirit in your life, people say, I just can't forgive. No, you can't, but God can. Amen. That means you have not yielded to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is all about love, joy, and forgiveness. Amen? So you can forgive your enemies, because Jesus taught, do what he says what? He says what? I say pray for your enemies. He didn't say do what? Shake your haters loose. Jesus didn't say brush your haters off your shoulders. Now, we laugh about it. I'm telling you, people preach that stuff and churches would shout it out. Man, brush the haters off. Is that what Jesus said, do? He says, pray for your haters. Do good to those that despitefully use you. Now, we don't like that, but if I say shake them off, amen, pastor. You preaching now, brother. You preaching. Because we like that. We don't like what Jesus said. Pray for those that despitefully. We'll say, cut them off. Cut them. Amen, pastor. Cut them off. Now, that's not what Jesus said. He says, love them. Forgive them. What did Jesus say? He said that if your brother sins against you, how many times? Seven times. Do what? Forgive them. We don't want to hear that. Oh, pastor, you don't understand. I can't forgive them. Really? Are you empowered by the Holy Spirit? You can. You just don't want to. Hello, somebody. Uh-oh. Don't you throw that Bible at me. I see right now, I'm be eating by myself at donut shop. I'll tell you to be by myself. All right, that's okay. I brought my own donut, so I know ain't nobody going to talk to me. But I'm really serious about that. That's why you and I both need the Holy Spirit. We call it be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to live the Spirit-filled life so that we can have the right attitude and the right actions. It's not only the action, it's the right attitude. An attitude of what? Love. Why do we do what we do? Because we love God. Why do you come to church? Because I love God, I love God's people. Why do I serve? Because I love God and God's people. Why do I give financially? Because I love God and God's people. I'm not being an actor. I'm not giving because I want to make sure if I give this money, God gonna love me more. No, he's not. But why do we do what we do? Why do we live holy? Because our God is holy. But holiness is produced by the Holy Spirit. In a real sense, you and I cannot live the Christian life. The Holy Spirit lived it through us. I think Paul says in Philippians, he says that it is God who is working in us. He's working in us to produce out of us. Think about it, God's working on me. Working on you, seriously. God's working on me, he's working on you. That's why we have to give grace to one another as Christians, because the problem in the church is the fact that we always look at people and we always say, man, them church folks are hypocrites. I said, man, good. You can join us. There's more room. There's more room for you, too. You can come on in. Because we all are getting that hypocrisy pushed out of us. We are maturing in Christ. And that's why I tell people, you never stop maturing. I don't care if you're 20, you 60, or you 70, you are still growing in Christ. You still got, God's still working on you. Don't say, oh, man, I'm 70 now, I'm good to go. No, you're not good to go until we haven't, you know, got you up in here in a pine box. But until then, you're still being worked on. You still are to be learning from Jesus Christ and to be a disciple. Don't think that, no, don't become an old wineskin. Still be what? Flexible. So that God can use you. So that God can pour in you. And also he can receive from you too. Amen? Amen. So he talks about that. It's not what goes in you that defiles you. What comes out of you that defiles you. And we want to make sure that what comes out of us is the righteousness of God. But it's produced by the Holy Spirit because we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. And do you know that the only reason God accepts you is because you put your faith in Jesus Christ? There has been something deposited to your account. I was watching the news the other day, and it says that this lady, she went to the ATM to check her balance. And I think she had some this enormous amount of money. I think she had about $50 million in her ATM. I mean, you know, on her check. She had $15 million in her bank account. And she knew I didn't have that. That's a mistake. and so she went to the bank and told them, hey, listen, there's a problem. This says I got this in my account, but this is not right. So they said, man, thank you, right? You don't have nearly as that. You got about $5,000 in there. But they were talking about how she went and told them they had a mistake. Now think about this. If you went to the spiritual ATM machine, you check your righteousness. They said, man, you got about $50 million. You might say, well, this is wrong. Well, no, it's right. Because it's been deposited to your account. Who deposited to your account? Jesus did. Think about that. He has deposited righteousness to you and I. So yes, we are the righteousness of God. Based on what Jesus Christ has deposited to our account. And because he deposited that money into our account, we should spend it how we want to. We spend it on other people by giving what? Love, joy, forgiveness, mercy, grace. So we don't spend the money on going on frivolous vacations. We're going to waste the money. No, we give it back. And we waste it. And we be a good steward of the grace that's been given to us. So when we look at people, we're not looking with judgment eyes, critical eyes, law of God disease. We look at people through the eyes of Jesus, people who make mistakes as people who are growing in grace. And that's what we are. The Bible says grow in the grace and knowledge of who? Jesus Christ. So how do we take it beyond the wall? How do we live this out? Simply put, don't try to earn God's approval. You can't. Don't try to earn it. Just accept it through Jesus Christ and live as genuine followers of God whose hearts have been cleansed by Jesus.